Welcome to the C3 Calgary podcast. We are so grateful you have come to join us. We would love to invite you to one of our in-person services. To find out times, locations, and more about our church, visit our website at myc3church.ca or find us on Instagram. Enjoy the message.
I know there's so many more stories that they would love to share. You got a little bit of the comedic side of the trip at the end. We had lots of fun as well. Okay, I'm so excited to introduce our speakers this morning. As I said, our theme today is resilient women. And so these girls are sharing on the resilient women in their worlds and that they've met. Some of them are sharing about their mamas, and some of them are sharing about some women they met on our trip. And a beautiful woman in scripture. So you're going to hear kind of a variety of stories this morning. So I'm going to quickly introduce who we have. We have Bree, who's going to be kicking it off. Bree, how old are you? 12 years old. And she's kicking off our speakers this morning. We have Mindy. We have Ella, both in senior high. Bailey, one of our incredible youth leaders. And Addison, who is wrapping it up. And so I know that they're a little bit nervous, but they have taken the time to prepare. And I know that their message is going to bless you this morning. So Bree, why don't you come on up, my dear. Give her a big clap.
Hello, my name is Bree. I'm 12 years old, and this is my first year in youth. Before I begin, let's all take a moment to appreciate the mothers in this room. Ephesians 6, verse 2 to 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." This verse shows how important your mothers, and fathers, of course, are to Jesus, that you would promise something if this was done. As the theme today is resilient women, I'll be sharing a story about how my mom encouraged me to be resilient as well. So I had just gotten back from a badminton tournament, and I hadn't done very well, and that was the one day my family had come to cheer me on. I went back home extremely disappointed. My mom came and asked me why I was upset. I told her I was unhappy because she had to watch me lose. She told me that she didn't care whether I won or lost, but that she was just there to support me. Then my mom told me it was normal to lose because nobody can do everything perfectly all the time. And that was okay as long as I didn't give up because there would be lots of opportunities that I would miss on if I did. She shared a couple stories of how her mom supported her through difficult times when she felt like giving up. She also told me to trust God with the outcome. This reminds me of a verse. Proverbs 1, verse 8 to 9 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." This verse is definitely true. So fast forward to a week later, and I'm at the finals. I remember the advice my mom gave me and used it to push through. And thanks to her and God and being resilient, I won all my games. John 16, verse 33 sums up what my mom told me. "In this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." In your hardships, remember this verse, and it may help you as much as helped me. Be resilient. To close today, I'd like to share one last Bible verse. Proverbs 31, verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." God bless you all, and a happy Mother's Day.
This would be a bad time to find out I have stage fright. I'm Mindy. Some of you may know me as Steve, especially Pastor Lauren. Yeah. I've been told that I look like I'm dressed for Christmas, but I don't think that's a bad thing. All right, so while we were in Los Angeles, us and some other people from the Dream Center were spread out across a large park in small teams so that we could hand out food and flyers to the local residents. Nearing the end, me and Sarana were handing out some of our last sandwiches when we met a woman sitting underneath a tree. Her name was Victoria, and I remember the very first thing that she did when we met her was make sure that her friend was fed before herself. Even though she was practically living outdoors in a park and we were offering her food, her immediate first concern was taking care of somebody else. Despite the conditions that Victoria was living in, this woman had the most kind and nurturing demeanor about her. Even just the way she talked reminded me of a mother trying to take care of her child. And when we sat down to have a conversation with her, we discovered that she was once a mother, but had lost all of her children and their father in a terrible car accident, of which she was the only survivor. I remember kind of crying when she told me that. That was really sad. She told us about how her life had fallen apart after that point, about how she spent so much time in the hospital, and about how she just wasn't able to comprehend life without her children anymore. She saw them everywhere and in everything that she did, and she said that she probably will for the rest of her life. Victoria went through the most difficult thing that any mother could ever experience. And because of this, she ended up homeless. But she made the choice to buy a large tent so that she and some other homeless women could have shelter together. But in the end, they all ended up leaving one by one, leaving her completely alone once again. Then she told us about how she was in rehab for drug use, and how she tried to seek solace in the other woman there, but only ended up finding a community full of hatred and hostility. Every step of the way, Victoria faced difficulty after difficulty, most of which would be enough to make any normal person completely give up hope. But instead, she didn't just stay strong, she stayed kind. In the face of horrible tragedy, loss, and loneliness, she never once lost her ability to care for the people around her. In James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial," or woman in this case. "For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, we are told, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Any woman can say that they are kind and caring in times of peace and wellness, but like Victoria, it takes true resiliency and strength to keep a tender heart in the middle of a storm. Everywhere she went, Victoria looked for family, and every time she lost it, but she never stopped looking because she knew that there was no use in giving up. I ended up encouraging her to visit the Dream Center because I knew that without a doubt, there she would find the family that she was looking for. And by that, I mean the family of God. And I know that I'll never have to worry about Victoria because I know that no matter how long it takes, she'll never stop searching for that family.
Hello everyone, I'm Ella O'Neill, and I've been attending C3 for about 10 years now, and I've been a part of the youth for about 2.5. I was one of the 13 youth who was lucky enough to go on the Youth LA Missions trip, and today Sarana has asked me if I could share a little bit about that. When she told me the theme for today's sermon, she told me it was Resilient Woman. But she wanted me to also share about the kids I had the chance to meet while I was in LA. So at first I was finding that really hard and was kept praying and asking God, how can I make that link? I kept hearing the resiliency of the parents, and in this case, the woman of these kids having to raise them. How do they do it? The situation these families are in and moms have to raise these kids, and lots of them have nothing. I mean, the kids on Skid Row literally have no home. And yet they are so happy and full of nothing but pure joy. Now, for the parents out there, you all probably know how parenting is tough. Obviously, I'm not a parent, but I can imagine how tough it is. I have siblings, an older brother, and a younger sister. My younger sister in particular is a little missy, and I have seen my mom and dad have to deal with her. It's tough because you love your kids, but you have to discipline them because you love them so much. You know what's best for them. Now imagine raising your kids when you don't have anything. You don't have money or a home. Most of the kids on Skid Row are being raised by one parent, and sometimes even their parents. I got to see six-year-olds looking after their baby siblings because their parents found it really difficult. I couldn't believe it. When we walked into the shelter, it was one floor packed with about 100 kids and parents, most of which were moms. And as I looked below through a window, I saw a gym packed full of hundreds of bunk beds and mattresses, row on row. That is what the kids and moms have to live in and sleep in. Imagine sleeping next to your family members and strangers. When we left the family shelter, I burst into tears. I cried, and something hit me. Jesus softened my heart in a way I could never describe. Every time I think about these kids and the situations they live in, I tear up. Even just writing this, I cried. These kids have to deal with stuff that I would never have to believe, that I would have never believed with. In this one particular boy we met, about 10 or 11, just a bit older than my little sister, he told us that this one particular boy, just a little older than my little sister, 10 or 11, had asked if we could walk him home because the last time he got jumped. When I heard this, it broke my heart. Just imagining this little boy, all he wanted to do was walk home, and he was walking in his own neighborhood, something we all do but never have to think about or worry about. When I heard this, all I could imagine was my little sister walking home and getting jumped. Young kids having to worry about getting home safely is unbelievable. I'm a young woman who looks up to these kids and are blown away by them. I want to be like them. Most of these women and kids are refugees coming for safety. Can you imagine bringing your little ones, fleeing from your country, all to hoping to begin a new life, hoping it's safe for your kids? The pure resiliency of these women having to deal, and may I add, all to protect their children, all so they can have safe and hope for their future, is incredible. Parents will do anything for their children to protect them. These women have put their lives at risk and would die for their children, all so they can have a good life. I've been serving on the kids' team for about 5 years now. And ever since I was a little girl, I've dreamed of becoming a mom one day. And when I do, I want to be just like my mom. I love little kids, especially babies. There's something about them that always put a smile on my face. God has put a soft spot on my heart for them. So to see these little kids looking after their baby siblings is heart-melting. Watching toddlers running around and being helped by the big kids to go down the slide. These kids in this shelter are all one big, happy family. They know each other and help everyone out. So as I wrap it up today, I want to leave you with a couple questions to ponder on, and then a challenge. So as I was writing this, I got the question, why isn't it me? Why isn't it us at this shelter, homeless with nothing? Why did God choose these families to go through what they go through? It just doesn't make sense. Why do I get an amazing life while they have to struggle? These women are strong, resilient women who will make it through the tough times and come out much stronger. So I want to challenge you today to continue to pray for these women and for their children as they fight everyday battles that we would never even imagine. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these amazing women who have gone through so much, all to give their young ones the best life possible, and all they are still facing. Father, I pray you continue to protect them and keep them safe. Lord, I also pray for these kids. I pray they continue to seek you and follow you. Please protect them and keep them wrapped in your love and safety you have for them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Wow, hearing these stories and testimonies all over again is making me so teary. And the youth know that I'm definitely one that cries often. So if tears start coming out of my eyes, it's fine. I'm going to be talking about a woman in the Bible. Her name is Deborah, and she is in the book of Judges. And Deborah was a judge, but not the judge that you think of in today's society. Back then, it was someone who was more of like a political regional leader or like a tribal chief. She would sit under a palm tree, and the people of Israel would come to her, and she would listen to what they had to say, and she would also teach them. And Deborah was also a prophet. So she would hear from the Lord and give words to other people. And in Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 is sort of the story that I'm going to be talking about, and I am going to paraphrase it since time is limited. So Deborah gets this word for Barak, who is like a military commander, and she calls upon him and she gives him this word that he's going to lead 10,000 men up to Mount Tabor, and they're going to have victory over Sisera and his army because they have been being oppressed by these people. And Barak says, I will go if you go with me. If you're not going to go with me, I'm not going to go. And I just think of the bravery and courage that Deborah had in that moment to say, yes, I will go into battle with you. I will fight alongside you because I've been hearing what's going on, because I'm sitting under this palm tree and I'm hearing from the people the issues that they are struggling with. And I'm saying, enough is enough. And I'm going into battle with them. And the courage and the bravery that she had in that moment. And then I was reading in Judges chapter 5, and I've noticed kind of this pattern. Every time there's like a battle, there tends to be like a song afterwards. So they're singing a song, and I always wonder what it would sound like. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. And in Judges chapter 5, verse 7, it says that there wasn't that many people left in the village of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. So when she took courage and said, I'm going to fight alongside you, I'm going to fight for my people because I've seen the oppression that they have been under. And I feel like there's a call for women in the church that we need to rise up as mothers and fight battles with one another, saying, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. And saying, yes, I will go because I know what you're facing, and I'm willing to get messy with you. I'm willing to fight with you for your breakthrough. Yeah. And I feel like we hear a lot of someone else can do it, or it's not my job, it's not my role. And I think it's time that us women know who we are in Christ. We know the word of the Lord and know that we have victory. And we walk out in courage and bravery, and that we walk alongside others and help them with what they're going through and rejoice with them. And that's all that I have for you this morning in these short few minutes.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Addison Barris. You may have known me from the time I spent hosting, or if you've looked in the sound booth during the service, you might have seen me there too. I'm here today to tell you why my mom is amazing. When Serena first asked me to speak today, I actually was really nervous, and I procrastinated what I was going to write for weeks. I only wrote this like last week. But in spite of all of that nervousness, I really, really wanted to do this. Partially because I love bragging about how cool my mom is, but mostly because I understand the importance of lifting up the people around me, especially the ones who have a positive influence on my life. My mother is resilient for many, many reasons. There's enough time in the day, let alone in a church service, to tell you all the reasons why. So instead, I'm just gonna stick to the biggest reasons. My mother is a warrior. Anyone who's heard her story knows that much. I don't think I've ever seen her not succeed at something she put her mind to. And even if she doesn't the first time, she tries until she does. She built her own business from the ground up, bought her own house, saved up for a timeshare on the beach in Hawaii, which I'm very grateful for, by the way. And she did it all while raising a rowdy and often moody set of twins. She rewires light switches, builds pool covers, she installs car radios, and refloors basements. She's like the world's best mechanic, carpenter, electrician, driving instructor, lawyer, woman, and mother, all wrapped into one. Not to mention a really great chauffeur for her kids. But in all seriousness, the seemingly endless diversity of my mother's strength is not what fascinates me most. From a very young age, I would tell everyone I wanted to be just like her. I wanted to be beautiful and stylish like her, powerful and smart like her. But what I never really told her was I wanted to be loved like her. My mother's courage and strength is so infrequently used for her own benefit. Her brightest moments are the ones when she helps others. She doesn't really realize this, but her business is so huge and so amazing because the people she helps love her, inside and out. Her courage and strength and refusal to give up have gotten her far in life, but it's gotten those around her farther. She always tells me that everyone around her is kind and strong. But what she doesn't know is that her kindness is what makes others kinder, and her strength makes them stronger. It's impossible to know my mother, to look at her, and not believe she's a strong, wonderful embodiment of God's Spirit. Her resilience is not so much in the mind, not to say that she doesn't have the mental fortitude to knock down a brick wall, but more so her resilience is in her heart. She doesn't let the struggles of her life stop her from getting where she wants to be and helping the people she wants to help. One of the hardest parts for me of trying to speak today was finding the right verse to describe my mother. Oftentimes, I find that words don't fully explain what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. But there is one passage that was long forgotten to me until I sat down to write this speech for today. It took a lot of digging through my memory, my Bible, and the internet to find exactly what it was that I was thinking of, but I think it suits my mother perfectly. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 13 is titled The Way of Love. I'm gonna share from here now. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, and isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sin of others, and doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, and always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going until the end. I'm going to say to all of you now what I never told my mother before. Mama, I want to be loved like you, and I want to love like you. Because as it says in the final phrase of the verse, trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. For the best of the three is love. Thank you.
Oh man. Can we give it up one more time for our incredible students and leaders? I'm going to invite our speakers up to the front. They're going to stand here, and they are here today available and willing and excited to pray with you. Maybe there's something that they shared that really resonated with you, or maybe you felt God highlighting something to you through any of their messages. Or maybe you're here today and you feel like, you know, if I'm honest, I don't know if I feel resilient. I feel like life has knocked me down a little bit. And I just believe today that God wants to lift some of that off of you and instill new hope and life and expectancy for your future and for the season that's ahead. So I know that these young ladies would love to pray with you today. So why don't we stand? And I'm just gonna finish in prayer. And I'll mention this now, as you leave today, be sure, ladies in the room, all ladies 16 and up, please grab a rose and a coffee card. This is our gift to you to say we love you, and we hope you have just a blessed and wonderful Mother's Day. So, Father, we thank you so much for what you did this morning and for what you spoke in and through the lives of these young people, from the stories of the women in LA and their moms and women in scripture. God, I just thank you that you have planted seeds in the hearts of people in this room, Lord. And I pray today, like a diamond in the rough, that there would be people who would arise from a season of despair and discouragement, Lord, and know and see that you are the one who makes us resilient. So I just pray for your peace to come, to do what only you can do, Father. And we just bless every person here today. In your name, amen. Amen.
I just want to say how intensely proud I am of you young ladies.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube. If this message resonated with you and you would like to give to our church, go to mycthreechurch.ca. See you next week.